Three American sailors were killed. The ship and its survivors are still on their way to Mediterranean ports. NBC News correspondent Robert Gorowski reports by satellite.
This is the USS Liberty, the Navy ship that was strafed and torpedoed Thursday by Israeli patrol torpedo boats and Israeli warplanes. She's been steaming along at 8 knots since she was attacked in the accidental episode of yesterday. She's now been joined by the 6th Fleet, which has been steaming to her assistance. All day today aboard the USS America, helicopters have been taking off and landing after bringing back some of the 100 men who were injured in yesterday's attack. The helicopters first took aboard the most severely wounded, now taking aboard those who were able to walk aboard ship. They will eventually be taking to the European mainland for treatment. It's impossible to assess the damage to the Liberty. She took one torpedo from the Israeli patrol torpedo boat.
When daylight pierced the vessel, one cloud was in the sky. I beheld the star of Remphan.
Ah, you hear that? Beheld the star of Remphan. A million questions. Okay, this is what we're kind of being ruled by, and I'm probably jumping in here too early. And greetings to everyone. Welcome, listeners to Republic, fellow listeners to Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is the 19th of November, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm kind of anxious to get this started again. So Mike was asking me to give a summation, and there's just so much there. But I was listening again, yet again, and wrote down some notes. And I had started out with talking about Captain McGonagall, and then Mike said he was in Turkey at the FLR-9 there, the elephant cage, and chaos ensued as soon as it was the nearest facility to the event there with the Liberty. And they had all these different languages. There was somebody from the State Department sent to Cairo before. And LBJ was more interested in keeping Nassar from spilling the beans that U.S. planes were involved rather than responding to the emergency he had been told about with the Liberty. There's just so much here. But he, there were jets, of course, we covered that hit the Antana, heat-seeking missiles, and the different ships that were there, the USS America and Saratoga. And they had planned this way before. They had Andrew Jackson, and that may have been nuclear-armed. You'll tell me what I'm getting wrong here, Mike, but we had James Ennis about his assault on the Liberty was his book, found out. And I think it was ELF is extremely low frequencies is what that stands for. But yeah, they travel, they pulse them through right through the earth. Right. And some more here. But so you're listening to Yours Truly Mer. We have a Chatango, yourstrulymer.chatango.com. And everyone, whenever you can, please help support this network. It's so important to keep information like this that you'll never hear anywhere else. Okay, Michael Gaddy is my guest again to go to part two of some of this information and over 42 years of research in so many different things and has so much detail. And we really need to listen because there's people now trying to subvert it and actually invert it to be something entirely opposite of what it is. And they're doing the same thing right now. In Palestine, Palestinians don't have any media that's allowed to get out. So we have to believe, I don't think so, whatever Israel's telling us happened. And similar to the Liberty, it's all made up for their purposes of getting that World War III going and getting the Tikkun Olam going and starting their Jew world odor. But the Star of Remphan is very, very interesting symbol. And we'll get into that with someone else at another time. So, Mike, do you feel like jumping in there and giving a better summation than I did, please?
Well, I thought your summation was excellent, Ms. Murr. And I think that if Americans truly want to understand not only what happened in the Six-Day War and what happened to the USS Liberty and what is happening now, what happened on 9/11, what happened, in so many of these incidents, if you want to get a good foundation, look up Operation Northwoods, and you will see exactly what government is willing to do to its own citizens to create the background for war. Because war is debt, and debt is money to the international banking cabal. And they will do whatever it takes. And I'm just going to kind of jump in with a little bit of extra new information here, if I may, Murr, that I just learned this morning.
Please do.
From a reliable source that I worked with many years ago. He was telling me this morning that there is now documented, filmed evidence that will be released showing that the deaths of the Israelis in this last conflict were basically inflicted by the Israeli military.
Sounds right.
That they killed their own citizens. Now, folks, if you think, no, nobody would do this, look at Operation Northwoods. The American Inner Command, especially the Joint Chiefs, the military branch of the United States government, had agreed to kill innocent civilians on the streets of America, to shoot down an airplane so they could blame it on Cuba. They were more than willing to kill American citizens in order to create the casus belli, if you will, to initiate an attack on Cuba. But ironically, the Joint Chiefs, and I have the documentation of this, the Joint Chiefs, when they got together in 62 with JFK, talking about the missiles in Cuba, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Joint Chiefs advocated not a military reprisal against Cuba, but a full-on nuclear attack on Berlin. And so you have to ask yourself, okay, so we have missiles in Cuba, so let's initiate a nuclear attack against, of all places, we're going to initiate a nuclear attack against Berlin. Now, you might ask yourself, well, how in the dickens does that make sense? Well, just ask yourself, why in 2001, after allegedly 9/11 occurred because of the Saudi Arabian people involved, why did we attack Afghanistan? And so I think to grasp a comprehension of this, if you truly want to grasp it, I have a full-on scenario, Murr, that I can walk us through if you so desire. It's your show,
yeah,
young lady.
Whatever you want, whatever you think will work.
But
BB can't join us. I might as well say it on air. He's busy today, I guess. So he said, have a great show.
Well, doggone that Blackbird 9. I'll get even with him for this. But I thought, and I know we thought about this at the last moment. So it's not on BB9. He's got stuff he's got to do. But I thought he would be an invaluable asset to contribute to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad that we can't have him, but we will proceed on.
Yes.
Now, here is what, and yes, I was at an FLR-9 facility during the Six-Day War in 67. And I saw traffic, communications traffic, Morse code traffic, vocal traffic. I saw all kinds of traffic coming out of the issue of the Six-Day War and eventually the attack on the USS Liberty. None of which makes any sense. But years later, when I was looking through documents, because it always intrigued me, because, you know, in the middle of 68, I was at NSA when the Russia invades, you know, Czechoslovakia. And I'm like, I'm right in the middle of that. And suddenly I'm on duty when that happens. So at NSA, if something critical happens, you can't leave the building until you get an all clear. So I was at Fort George G. Maryland at NSA in that building when that occurred, and I couldn't leave for almost 36, 37 hours. Mm. What I learned during that attack was most elucidating to understanding what goes on in this country. But here is my proposal, Murr. Now, I had a gentleman back in the late 1960s sitting in the Pentagon, you know, that building with four walls and a spare, as we as we referred to it as the Puzzle Palace.
We call it the Pentagram, too.
Yeah. I had a former U.S. Air Force colonel, a brilliant man who was also liaison between President John F. Kennedy and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I became friends with him, Murr, basically because, and I, man, I hate to use the exact language, but I think I need to. Because I remember sitting at a luncheon table with this gentleman, and I was all rah-rah America. You know, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do whatever it takes. America, right or wrong, she's still my country. You know, that kind of mind control. Mm-hmm. And I had, in essence, stated that sitting at lunch. And I had this gentleman, a former Air Force colonel by the name of Fletcher Prouty. Mm. He looked me straight in the face across the table and he said, "Mr. Gatty?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You're full of shit." Now, I have to admit, now, pardon the language, but that is accurately mm-hmm. what he said.
And he should have said something even more right.
Yeah,
right?
He could have said something even more right, yes. But I looked at him and I was stunned because I'm looking at a man that I revered. I mean, here was a guy who was a retired Air Force colonel who had become such a trusted confidant of President Kennedy that he was his liaison between him and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the fact, you know, I was just absolutely amazed. But back at that time, I had a very close friend, a friend I had personally traveled to the old soldiers' home in Washington, D.C. And I had gone into his room. His name was, you know, he was a Army sergeant major. And I went into his room at the old soldiers' home, and I said, we talked for quite a while. And his story just absolutely captured me. As a young 16-year-old kid when Pearl Harbor was invaded, Mr. Chuck Eatley knew that he couldn't join the military legally, so he stole his older brother's birth certificate. Mm. And he went down, and of course, you know, they weren't as stringent back then, and he joined the United States Marines. And he went off to battle, and he was involved in several battles in the Pacific and was so heavily wounded that the Marine Corps medically discharged him and sent him home. Well, he got back to New York, what he called Hell's Kitchen in New York. He got back to New York, and immediately went in, got his own birth certificate, and went down and joined the Army. Well, 30-some years later, as a Special Forces NCO, he had seen quite a few things in Vietnam, and I was talking to him about those things, and I went down to the old soldier's home, and I said, well, Sergeant Major, would you be willing to come live with me in my apartment? I'm right there in Arlington, Virginia, right off Washington Boulevard. Would you be willing to come down and live with me? I think it would be a much better life than what you're experiencing here, trapped within the walls of this, what I call a prison. And he said, well, you know, you're going to have to give me some time to think about that. And I said, yes, sir, you take all the time you want to. And he said, okay, I'm done. When do we leave?
You're something, Michael.
And Chuck Eatley became one of the closest friends I ever had. And Chuck lived with me at my apartment for several years. And he was such an insight. But he was quite the character. I mean, quite the character. Because of Agent Orange, he had had both his legs amputated. And so wherever he went, I pushed him around in a wheelchair. And I loved it. I loved being with the man. I absolutely loved all of the intelligence that he could, that he passed along to me from both Korea, World War II, and Vietnam. I mean, he knew so much. And he was such a good friend. And he became a good friend of my family, Murr. Kids loved him. My kids loved him. Susanna loved him. And, you know, unfortunately, he passed away. You know, we all do. But he passed away. But his information, but then he was a very close friend of L. Fletcher Prouty. And so I can remember on several occasions us sitting in McLean, Virginia, in Colonel Prouty's home. And Colonel Prouty was, he was big on brandy. Brandy was his choice. And you went into Prouty's home, and within minutes, get you a brandy. Mm-hmm. And but he was such a wealth of knowledge. You know, he's the one who told me that at the end of World War II, when we were planning to a full onslaught attack on Japan with 500,000 American soldiers, that all of the goods and all of the supplies had been stored on Okinawa. And they were all there, and they were ready to go for this 500,000-man invasion of Japan until August of 1945, and they dropped the atomic weapons. Well, then here sits Japan surrenders, and here we're sitting on all of these supplies that have been accumulated, sitting on Okinawa. And Colonel Prouty said, well, you know what happened to those? And I said, no, sir, I do not. And he said, well, I do, because I was in charge of their distribution back then. And I said, well, where did they go? And he said, well, we took half of them, took them to Pyongyang. We took the other half to Hanoi. Where did we fight our next two wars? People, you do not understand that government is about two things, war and debt.
Oh, just like the banks. That's who runs them too,
yes,
right?
That is why governments exist, is for war and debt. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of them just insanely wealthy. Mm-hmm. Why we, the common Joe Sixpack out here, pays the bills. But I guess I've kind of gone astray there. But from what I was able to gather with my inside intel at the No Such Agency, about that was the fact that during the Six-Day War, a great number of the people in the Israeli government didn't know what the dickens was going on. The entire American government, except for Johnson and his circle of criminal conspirators, no one else in government knew exactly what was going on during that Six-Day War. And so it became, you know, quite a circus. But I remember L. Fletcher Prouty making a statement, and at the time, Murr, I was stunned, but I would like your response to this. The good colonel told me, he said, are you aware that especially since FDR, especially considering FDR, now he said, now we can take it back further. We know that Abraham Lincoln, his administration was controlled by the Jewish bankers in Europe. He said, but he said, how many people are aware that at the very beginning of this country, that a Jew by the name of Alexander Hamilton controlled George Washington?
And now, did you know about this stuff already, or were you learning from him at this point?
At this point, Murr, I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, probably looked like I was trying to catch flies with my open mouth. Is that music in the background there, sweetheart?
One cloud was in the
Oh, there it is.
Sky.
You're right. Okay, we got a little break. We'll be right back. Listen for that Star of Rem fan.
Star of Rem with a million questions why. Every hole that tore my soul that day, I still carry them with me.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
And the bottom of on the sea.
Okay, I guess we're back here. We'll try to save some time on these bumpers. And you were getting into Fletcher Crowdy and you had your brandy in hand, right? Michael?
Yes, Mer, that is correct. I'm sorry. I had the cow disease there. Couldn't find my mute button. yes, and this was, you have to remember now, this was happening, you know, several decades ago. This was a long time ago. But he fully understood what was happening, and that's why he wrote a book called The Secret Team, how he wanted to let America know that the CIA controlled their government, and the international bankers controlled the CIA. And he wanted people to know that, and he tried his very best to get that out there. And I am so thankful for the time that I had to, you know, spend with him and speak with him. And, but here is the thing that I was able to garner about the Six-Day War and about the USS Liberty. And that was the majority of people inside the Israeli government and inside the U.S. government had no clue what was about to happen. Now, they do this, Mer, it's a PSYOP, and they do this to create what we call plausible deniability. So the Israeli government could say, we didn't know that was an American ship. We didn't know. But we know that Yitzhak Rabin and Moshe Dayan and these people were controlling the Israeli military, and they knew exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. But to create plausible deniability, you know that the government can actually go on online or go on TV and say, we didn't know, it's an accident. And they would have the aura of reality about them. But they were not in charge. Just like the United States was not in charge. The Six-Day War was designed specifically, I believe, in many respects, to achieve two purposes. To allow Israel to take over a vast amount of property, the Golan Heights and other parts, that they were not theirs. Mm-hmm. But to use the rationale of, well, they attacked us, so we can take what belongs to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their entire idea. And no one realizes that the whole planned operation was done, and I want to bring this out, was our great, my great friend L. Fletcher Prouty made the statement one time. He said, do you know we have not had a president, and I may have mentioned this before, that was not controlled by a Jewish handler? He said, it goes all the way back, pardon me, all the way back to Washington and Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And he said, then, of course, we go to the U.S. misnamed Civil War, and we know that Lincoln was controlled by the international bankers through Samuel Chase, and also through others that were, in fact, Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on, and here is what I believe, Mer, and, you know, interrupt me at any time you think it's proper.
Well, I was just going to say, he was a pen pal with Marx himself, Moses Mordecai Levy, that some people don't want to hear the real name, but, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, here is what I believe, my beliefs, pardon me, pardon me again, based on the information that I have, here is what occurred. We're looking in 1967, and the Vietnam War is really not going well for Lyndon Baines Johnson. it is not producing the positive. Oh,
well, we're at the bottom of the hour. Got another little break. Yep, we'll be right back.
In the sky, I beheld the star of Ramphan with a million questions why.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
On the sea. Then I locked eyes with the pilot.
All righty. I guess we're back here, Mike.
Oh, fantastic, Mert. And, you know, here's the thing that I think that people just cannot accept, and I'm not sure why it just does not resonate, because the truth should resonate with people, especially true believers. And so the truth of this whole thing, in my opinion, is that agreed with L. Fletcher Prouty that many of our presidents had had their Jewish handlers. Washington had Hamilton, and that, if you have any doubts about whether Hamilton was running the government or not, all you have to do is to read the letter from Thomas Jefferson to George Washington, asking him why that Hamilton was able to do all of the stuff that he was doing, which was totally unconstitutional for a Secretary of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here just for a second.
Please.
Interrupt. Hang on there. I just want to say that actually this is worldwide. There's Jewish handlers for everyone in power if they're not Jewish themselves to begin with. Okay? Bergoglio, Rockin' Franny, the Pope, right? Has a handler, a rabbi named Zorka. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, Americans might say, well, I don't think that is true. Well, you've got Hamilton with Washington, which started it right out of the box. And, of course, then it became more dominant. We know that Colonel House was Wilson's, Woodrow Wilson's handler. We know
that
for sure.
He wasn't a colonel either.
Yeah, he wasn't even a colonel, but what a wonderful name. You just call yourself Colonel House. And, of course, then we go on to World War II and FDR or to the FDR administration, and he had 237 Marxists in his administration all the way down to the Department of Agriculture. And, mm-hmm. of course, he had his Jewish advisors. Number one was Harry White.
His real name is Rosenfeld. He was a Jew himself.
Yes, exactly. And so here we are with a complete domination and control of the United States in World War II, which is why that under the Lend-Lease program, we sent military supplies to Russia, sometimes even taking them away from American forces. Because the primary objective was to make sure that. And if you read Colonel Jordan's diary, now Colonel Jordan was in charge of the Lend-Lease program. And if you read his diary, and folks, if you really care about history, you need to read that. And the fact that we sent all of the necessary supplies to make and create an atomic weapon to Russia long before the Rosenblatts were hanged.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, one of the things he mentions in Major Jordan's diary was the number of agents who flew into Montana from Russia and then without passports, without any forms of identification or anything else, just mingled into American society.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no restrictions whatsoever. Now, why would an American government allow that? But I know we're getting away from the liberty, and that is where we really need to focus here.
Well, Mike, we know.
Go ahead.
The whole thing is to bring everyone under this new world order.
Yes, exactly. And it would be a new world order run entirely by the Israeli banking machine.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a problem with Iran. They don't have a Rothschild central bank.
Yes, and that just really, that puts them in the same category as Adolf Hitler prior to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted to free the German people. Now, everything Hitler did was not good, but there was no Holocaust. That's all bullshit. Pardon my language. The whole thing about this, he did want to. The problem, and I mentioned that to someone this morning, the problem with Hitler was that he did not see the actual fact that National Socialism was no different from Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
And he embraced National Socialism. And yes, no, he was not all right about everything. But he did want to free the German people from the dominance of the Israeli banking machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to be. And, Mer, I just got a message here that I wanted to pass along to you and for you to do some research on. And I just got a message that now if Christ is mentioned in any publication, it will be considered to be anti-Semitic.
Wow.
Now, let's see how that progresses, but I just got that, and I wanted to tell you about that. But
well,
let's
how
get
you
back.
Take Christ out of the Christian, right? Everything's, you know, Christian this and Christian that. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. I guess I'll put the X up there like they do for Xmas.
Yes, I'm sure that will probably happen. And of course, you and I both know that the terrible thing that the Jews cannot admit is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. But moving on from that, getting back to the primary subject, and that is the USS Liberty, was the fact that Lyndon Baines Johnson, as a politician, had been under the control of one Abe Fortas since his career as a state politician in Texas. Abe Fortas had been his mentor. Mm-hmm. And Abe Fortas constructed an illegal election in 1948 to make sure that LBJ was elected to the U.S. Senate. And then I am firmly convinced that Abe Fortas was involved in the 1960 election, which took the election away from Nixon, who was the actual winner, and put that election into the hands of JFK, who they thought they could manipulate because of his father. And plus, it put LBJ into a position of extreme power. And everyone knows that vice presidents usually follow up. So I think that Abe Fortas was as heavily involved in the election fraud in Texas that put LBJ into office. I believe that as well. And then Fortas was LBJ's mentor. And so we're looking at 1967. The war's not going good in Vietnam. And LBJ is just absolutely determined he has to do whatever is necessary to get reelected. And so what is Abe Fortas's advice? Well, let's do something to divert the people of America's attention away from Vietnam and concentrate that on your wonderful handling of a situation in the Middle East, which will bring in votes. Well, then they sat down and they designed a program operating with the CIA and the Mossad to create an attack on an American ship. And everything they did, everything they said about this, number one, Merge, stop and think. They said, well, we had to be on alert. Look at the Israeli files. We had to be on alert. Here was a ship that was shelling Egypt. I mean, was shelling our forces in Egypt. And it was moving along the coastline. And it was moving along at 30-plus knots per hour. And we knew that, it wasn't blah, blah, blah. And so even when they had Jane's volume of military ships and other ships, and they admitted they looked at them, and they admitted that the USS Liberty didn't look anything like the Israeli horse transport vehicles they thought they were attacking.
Or Egyptian or whatever,
I'm sorry. Did I say something else? Egyptian, I'm sorry. But the Egyptian the Egyptian horse trailer.
So the Liberty with its 150 cal, right, was... Never mind, go ahead.
Well, it actually had 450 cal weapons mounted aft and stern. And it was there, but you can't shell anybody with a 50 caliber rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole pretense, everything. And then, when we look at it, Murr, the entire, once he passed away and all of his notes were passed along, his daughter published them. Moshe Dayan, who was the Minister of Defense, and all of his notes about the Six-Day War, doesn't mention the USS Liberty. Why?
Except for the order where he ordered it to be attacked. What happened to that?
Well, that kind of slipped away.
I see.
Here's what happened. They wanted to completely sink the USS Liberty. That was their goal, to sink it and to make sure that no one survived. That mm-hmm. is why they were shooting up the life rafts. No one could survive this. And then the helicopters arrive with the Star of David on them.
Rim fan.
full of combat troops. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are on a rescue mission to help these people who have been attacked, why do you send your men in full combat gear?
Because they're liars.
So then we have this. We have this all happen. And it was designed to, because we had already issued a nuclear alert at least an hour before the USS Liberty was attacked. We had planes on standby, B-52s everywhere. How did they know to go on standby an hour before the Liberty was attacked? And there is also evidence that from the USS Saratoga, that they launched an aircraft with a nuclear weapon aimed for Egypt. Mm-hmm. And it was called back when they determined that the Liberty did not sink. Now, then suddenly our good old LBJ is stuck. Because, number one, and I have no proof of this, Murr, but I totally believe that in all probability, Nasser was probably right when he radioed both Kosygin and Johnson that the initial attack on Egypt was a dual attack by American aircraft and Israeli aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
LBJ could not let that get out. He had to do whatever was necessary to make that irrelevant and to make the American people not believe it. So the entire thing, and, you know, what was it called, Murr, Operation Cyanide?
Mm-hmm.
So here was an operation which was designed. Operation Cyanide is no different than the aforementioned, you know, Operation Northwoods. They are the same. Governments do not tell the people the truth, but governments do not tell their own people the truth so that they will present plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's the thing. It all fell apart. And I believe the reason that the whole dynamic of the USS Liberty falling apart is the very reason that LBJ decided he couldn't run for president in 1968, because if he did, there were going to be questions about the Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could allow the truth or any thorough investigation into the Liberty to come out in 1968. So Johnson, to avoid that, just simply said, well, I've decided I'm not going to run. So he fell on his sword, so to speak. Murr, up to you.
Well, I was just thinking how, after all of this, how he let his hair grow long and went totally mad out on his ranch, from what I understand. Is that correct? I think so.
Well, Murr, one of the things I remember very distinctly is my old buddies, and may they rest in peace. The gentleman who went to music to support Vietnam, and our good friend Jim Ram plays them quite often. Mm-hmm. And that would be Michael and Tim, Michael J. Martin and Tim Holliday. And those gentlemen, you know, tried to put out there as much as they could the truth about what was happening, about, you know, the various things. But in 1968, you know, you had to have someone come along, because they could not in any way allow a full open investigation of the USS Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so
bring
I realized,
in Tricky Dick.
Yeah. So let's bring in Tricky Dick. Now, how many people know that in 1960, after losing the election with voter fraud so obvious,
right.
Ray Charles could have found it.
Especially in Chicago area, right? By JFK's daddy.
Yeah. So here we had all of this taking place, all of this election fraud. And why did Lincoln not, I'm sorry, Lincoln. I keep thinking about that guy. But why did LBJ not stand up? Why did he not say, well, you know, gosh, you know, something's happening here. Something isn't right. Why would we have that when it was so obvious? Nixon, immediately upon his loss, is contacted by none other than Nelson Rockefeller in New York. Here's Nixon out there in California. And so Nelson Rockefeller contacts Nixon and says, oh, it's too bad that you lost, but if you will come to work for me in New York as one of my prominent attorneys in my law firm, here, let me offer you a salary of $200K a year. Well, and folks, 200K. Yeah. Go ahead, Mer.
No, go ahead. 200K in that time was like what? How much now?
Oh, man, well over half a million.
Yeah.
So here he was brought into New York to work in the Nelson Rockefeller law firm, and he was given a penthouse.
People often write to...
Now, well, here we go.
Little break. Be back.
Yeah.
A few minutes, fellas and gals.
In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Determination and God's grace, I remain. But if it helps you sleep, you can picture me.
Well, thank you, Sam. I really like that tune. That's so fitting, Mike. So do you remember where you left off, or can I just jump in here just for a second? You were talking about Fletcher Prouty and that bit where he was assigned to redistribute all the World War II stuff because Japan got nuked, so it wasn't useful there, to the next two theaters, right? North Korea and Vietnam, huh?
Yes. And many of us who were early participants in that atrocious Vietnam War, we noticed, especially in 1965, the fact that the primary weapon carried by what at that time was the Viet Cong and also the NVA was the M1 carbine. And their number one weapon they used against us primarily was the Bouncing Betty mine. And when we learned that most of those actually were created in America, it became, you know, we were kind of like, where did they get this stuff? Well, until I talked with L. Fetcher Prouty, I had no idea.
Yeah, and so they didn't just take it to those theaters for one side. They took the ammo and stuff for both sides. Just well, like Mer, the banks, you know, put both sides in debt. Go ahead.
Well, Mer, if you and I, we form an army, we'll call it the Rebel Mer Army. And we form an army, and we know that if we want to make money, which is our object, then, okay, how do we make money? Well, let's create war and let's create debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's hard to create war if the enemy doesn't have any guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, we need that enemy over there. He doesn't have any guns. Let's give him some so that he can use them to preface a war which will make us filthy rich.
And they're doing the same thing in Chicago. The feds dropping whole crates of weapons. You know, it's been noticed several different times in Chicago.
Well, that's always...
Yeah.
Chicago has always amazed me, Murr, because Chicago itself has, Cook County has the toughest gun control laws in America. And yet they have, by numbers, you know, some of the highest rates of murder, assault, being shot, you know, on the streets. They have the highest numbers, but it's by population. But it really gets scary, Murr, when we realize that Chicago is not even in the top 10 in inner city violence in this country.
Wow. Oh, top of the hour. Another few minutes, we'll be back.
Some of the hundreds of men who were injured in yesterday's attack. The helicopters first took aboard the most severely wounded, now taking aboard those who were able to walk aboard ship. They will eventually be taking to the European mainland for treatment. It's impossible to assess the damage to the Liberty. She took one torpedo from the Israeli patrol torpedo boat.
When daylight pierced the vessel, one cloud was in the sky. I beheld the star of Ramphan with a million questions why. And every hole that tore my soul that day, I still
care. My name is John, the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.